Hello and welcome to the Buffering Podcast. Today is Wednesday, February 15th, and we are coming to you from the Frank Oz Memorial Studio. He is not dead, he's just awesome.
It's true.
And I am here, my name is Adam Erdman, and I'm here with Dan Whalen, as always.
Hello!
And we are excited to have the Wheeler Whalen Flower Hour with some guy named me. Today.
Our special episode of Buffering today for everybody.
Yes, yes.
The Wheeler Whalen Flower Hour, which came out during a conversation through Foursquare, where James Wheeler magically appeared in the Frank Oz Memorial Studio, teleporting from the TCF Bank, as we've just recently learned.
TCF Bank Stadium.
Just long enough to check in and then leave.
Hey, guys.
Bam. Flu Network.
So, yes, if you hadn't figured it out already, we are here with the Wheeler brothers, Dave and James.
Yes.
Hello, boys.
Hi.
Hey.
Dave, you've been on before, but James, welcome to the show for the first time.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you here.
Yeah. So, without further ado,
one thing I wanted to mention first is we are available on a new website. We are available on Stitcher.com. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is a smart radio for your phone. Find it on your App Store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So if you download the Stitcher app, which I've done, you can find us on there by searching for Buffering. And they have a great slew of other programs on there. I also have WTF with Mark Maron on there. I also have Wait, Don't Tell Me. Doug Loves Movies, Paul F. Tomcast. There's a great slew of stuff other than comedy on there as well, depending on what you like. So definitely check it out, Stitcher.com. And yeah, the app is free.
Yeah, which is absolutely fantastic.
So definitely check it out for our sake. If not, you can also find us on iTunes by searching for Buffering, by searching for my name, for searching for Adam's name, or searching for either of our guest names. So James, now you'll be searchable on iTunes.
Wouldn't be the first time.
So there you go, adding to your resume of iTunes.
There you are.
When you're on there, make sure to rate us because we have egos and they need to be inflated.
It's true. I mean, why not?
And if you like our episodes, you'll also like our bonus tracks, which you can find at bufferingpodcast.com.
As well as the episodes, of course.
It's true. We have the episodes up there. We have photos of all of our guests. We have bonus mic checks. We have some Leonard Maltin games. We have some movie bluff games. We have some build a title games. We have what are you doing? When your arms link, what are you playing with? Oh, you're getting it. Perfect.
I'm downloading the Stitcher app.
Nice.
Ooh. I've had it, but now I'll have it and I'll have
and
you.
Use it because we can actually track how many people listen to, like how long of an episode each person listens to. We can get in that deep because that's how much information they provide to us.
Wow.
Which is why we signed up with them.
Fantastico. I will be intrigued to see what you, dear audience members, think of the show.
Yes.
And how long you tune in. But yes, then, but also before we go any further, I definitely got to say, happy birthday, Kia! My sister's birthday is today.
So hopefully she'll listen to it on Friday and allow for the 2 days it takes to ship audio from here to California.
Yeah, basically. Happily belated. But not really, because this is a message from the past.
Or from the future.
Or from the future. No,
either way, go on iTunes and Stitcher and rate us real high.
Happy birthday to Kia.
You got it. All right, so.
But something else I wanted to bring up just for fun is I received an email from myself from the past today.
What?
Thanks to futureme.org.
So good.
Where it's one of those things where you can write an email to yourself, set the date and time when it'll show up, and then you forget about it like I did, and I sent myself a playlist from 8track.com.
Oh, cool.
For some reason, I thought that I would want to listen to Disney Greatest Hits today, sent myself that playlist, and I got it right before I hopped in the shower, so it was perfect. It was just kind of freaky.
And what were your greatest Disney hits?
Oh no, it wasn't mine. 8Tracks is a site where people can submit playlists. Oh. And sometime over a year ago, I came across this greatest hits Disney list and said, yep, I'll want to listen to that again.
Nice.
For some reason. But that was the future thing. But let's talk about now, because we actually have a good deal of news. For one, Lilyhammer, a program that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks, has finally been released on Netflix. Originally on Netflix, it is 8 episodes starring Steve Van Zandt about a mobster who testifies against his mafia boss and is transported to Norway to live in Lillehammer, which he calls Lilyhammer because he is from New York and doesn't know any better.
Lilyhammer.
And we watched a little of it before the mic check today, and James, you put it the best. How was it?
Heinous. And as my brother said, was it the good heinous or the bad heinous? And I said, dude, there's only one heinous, and it's bad.
I wanted to make a your heinous joke, but I'm not going there.
Because I assume you were thinking of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, where they said heinous a whole hell of a lot. But it was always...
don't judge.
Right. But yeah, it was pretty awful.
Well, the 30 seconds or so that I saw wasn't half bad. I mean, there's hope, but they have...
It still wasn't half good, though.
Development to do, I think.
Yeah, the first 10 or so minutes that we had actually allowed to play on the screen, the writing was horrible. Some of the acting was iffy.
They can't.
There was some reasonable scenery, but at the same time, it's being the executive producers are from Norway, so they would know what to do for that specifically. But they can't write mafia intrigue.
No, it was a little too bright and cheery, and judging from most of the things that I've seen from, I don't know what part of Europe you would refer to Norway as, but anything that's kind of Scandinavian,
Scandinavian, so to speak,
Scandinavian. Yes.
It tends to be a bit more desolate. It seemed like more like a sitcom than anything.
It was like Northern Exposure with like a sprinkling of really really shitty Sopranos.
I would have had I not known French, I would believe that he was in French Canada. That's about as far away as I thought it was, and that's how far it felt.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, it's snowy and people sound funny. French Canada. Got it.
Yeah, and did anybody else think that the chief of police looked just a little bit like she was directly out of Fargo?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was pretty spot on.
I did think about that.
And unfortunate, too, because that just... It was such a... It's so weird. I have no interest in going back to it, despite the fact that I am a big supporter of exclusive content. But at the same time, it's just not bad content.
Jokes on you. Which is really surprising, considering Netflix seemed to start off doing direct content by doing some live specials, like the Zach Galifianakis Live at the Purple Onion.
Yes.
Oh, that was crazy.
Where they produced the DVD as well.
Exactly. But, you know, it was exclusively available to stream on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And you'd think that going from that to going to something that would be more serialized, you'd want to maintain the same kind of level of...
Quality.
Quality. Yeah, exactly. But it seemed a bit hokey. I mean, like Adam said, hopefully it gets a little bit better as they are able to build on it a little bit. But
I'm wondering, since I mean, Dave, have you seen Sopranos?
Yeah.
Adam, have you seen Sopranos?
No.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you two for a second then, because no offense, I don't know about it very well either.
I'll drink my Dr. Pepper.
Perfect. Would you say that this would be equivalent to like a spin-off where it's just kind of that same spin-off quality where they're just trying to milk something like Sopranos?
Like a Joey spin-off, not a Frasier, you know? Well, Frasier was
a spin-off
of
modern
Cheers
spin-off.
And Joey.
Most modern spin-offs are about the level of Joey.
See, I don't know. The thing that I got from it was like they were trying to kind of get that quirky vibe that you got from like shows like Pushing Daisies.
Okay.
While trying to have a little bit of seriousness, and I don't know, like from what I saw, I'm waiting for it to be like, and surprise, it's directed by M. Night Shyamalan and it's a tie-in to Fargo. Like, you know, like it, you know, what a twist. Yeah, it's just one of those things that I don't know, it wasn't consistent. It just I don't know. It felt like they were trying to do too many different things.
They're trying to please too many people at once.
Yeah, it seemed like they wanted to be Donnie Brasco, and they ended up a little too much My Cousin Vinny.
Okay. Okay.
But well, no,
well, or Weekend at Bernie's.
Let me come back to that. let's not rip on My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, no, no.
It's great.
I love that movie.
But when you're trying for Donnie Brasco and you end up with My Cousin Vinny, not exactly where you want to be.
That's true.
It's not, which really, I feel like that's the kind of story, like character arc that there will be. It'll be stereotype from this location, stereotype from this location, stereotype. It'll just be that over and over and over again. For
it's like when you put too many toppings on your pizza and then you're just sitting there going, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. It's too much going on. But I brought that up because Lilyhammer is available on Netflix. It started last week. Maybe you'll have a different opinion about it. Maybe you should probably check it out anyway.
They put
eight episodes at once.
Oh, okay. So it was, okay.
They put it all up at once so that somebody could binge on it if they so choose. But I was wondering about that at the same time. Would you, if you were a production company or the production company holding this thing, would you do like two episodes at a time, or would you want to do all at once and just get it all over with? You know, is it the toe in the pool or is it the cannonball?
Yeah. Well, James put it the best. It was more like taking off a Band-Aid because it's, you know, with eight episodes being out there already, you have the full opportunity to watch a couple and go, man, this sucks, or man, I really like it. But the thing is you're rolling the dice. I mean, it's either going to do really, really well at this point, or it's going to bomb, and we're not going to see the rest of the friggin' show. Mm-hmm. I have a strange feeling, because it's literally putting all your eggs in a basket, and that basket is Netflix.
And even with that, do you think, will they make DVDs of it?
Now, that's
probably available eventually on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thing. And since this is the Buffering podcast, it's kind of like what YouTube is doing versus what Yahoo has been doing. Like Yahoo forever has been developing like specific like tiny little channels like with other video stuff, and now YouTube is like, we're making 100 premium channels, and it's like everything from like the World Wrestling Entertainment to this sport to like Martha Stewart to, you know, everything. And it's kind of like, is it better to throw, you know, everything and like rip the Band-Aid off and have produced eight episodes that you can't go back and tweak based on what the reception is, versus do you look at a specific, you know, kind of, you know, if you're going to do a gangster Italian Godfather type thing, you know, do you try it out a little bit and then come back and do a couple more? Because it's not like TV where you order a half a season or you order a full season, you know, eight episodes, and then it's kind of like, okay, so is this like the first little mini season like an HBO would produce?
Yeah, like,
you know,
a test season.
Yeah, or is this just kind of it? You know, is this kind of like a British television show where you just do eight and you're done, you know, and move on to the next one? Maybe somebody is in, you know, in it from the last one, but it's not, you know, continual.
I'm sure it's going to be one of those niche things too, because I mean, you know, maybe you won't have 100,000 people wanting to check out the wide world of curling, but you know, you'll have people look at it, you know. The thing is will that be
Canadians
in, yeah,
and me, yeah, people with beards.
But you know, it's the thing of will that be enough? Is the thing
blazers
that I would be concerned about? Not with the wide world of curling. I'm talking about the show. But yeah.
Oh,
Lilyhammer.
Going back to curling. Have you guys ever been curling? Because it's fucking hard.
Curling is the greatest.
Like, did you? It's were like, you a, were you a stone thrower or were you a broom guy?
Sweeper.
I got to do a little bit of everything.
Because, I mean, you're putting your weight and then some on this broom while simultaneously running. Like, all of your weight. You have to put every ounce of your body on that thing.
It's janitor hockey.
It really is. And it is fucking hard.
Yeah, this is not like broom ball.
No.
It is intense.
Like, seriously, I went home, I woke up the next morning, and I could not, like, get out of a straight position that I'd slept in because my abs hurt that much.
Wow.
Curling is for the abs. It's the new P90X.
It's true.
Bring it out.
Huh.
But I brought up Lilyhammer because, you know, it started out last week, and then later this year, House of Cards is still supposed to show up on Netflix, which is Kevin Spacey and David
that
Fincher.
Is the Kevin Spacey one. Okay.
Yeah. And then on top of that, today it was announced that CBS is in negotiations with Netflix to potentially produce content for them, but it was really just announced on a financial planning call. So that's as far as it is at this point. There's no yes, no, what's the title, who's in it? It's just, yeah, we might.
There's a thing that we might do.
Could happen.
I don't know.
And this would be something that's produced exclusively by CBS, not by an outside company as well. So it's...
Do I smell another CSI spinoff? CSI Netflix?
Netflix exclusive.
Which well, Who song have been? We not used? Yeah. All right?
Yeah! I think they're on Pinball Wizard at this point.
Oh, so I would definitely, definitely blind. Sing that.
He's going to use his flippy fingers
to solve mysteries.
He's got such a supple wrist.
Well, so do I, but I don't solve mysteries, okay?
Yeah, I know, dude.
But yeah, that's... So CBS might do something, who knows?
The one thing that I found kind of fascinating about CBS, actually, with their streaming the shows online,
right.
Down in Savannah, we didn't get CBS, so Maya and I really like NCIS. So we'd always try and watch it on the CBS website. But CBS website... 9 times out of 10 wouldn't successfully stream it. Like, it would freeze within the first 30 seconds. But Xfinity, going through Xfinity, it ran smoothly every single time. And I could not figure that out.
Radiator. Sorry, the radiator, yeah. It's the heat is amping up in here.
I noticed.
She can't take no more, Captain. She's about to blow.
If I could fart right now, that would be the greatest setup ever.
They noticed the same thing because they, for the first time ever, they did like legit streaming of the Super Bowl this year.
Right.
And they were saying that because it was done through NBC.com or it was done through Verizon, there was actually like this huge pinch on it. And they were saying that they were reporting like 2.1 million viewers. Mm. But they said that by the time they broke it down, that each individual like unique viewer viewed only 37 minutes. And then they said that if each person had to restart once because they had all these different troubles, that people actually only ended up watching about a quarter if they watched it online because they had a lot of problems. And then on top of that, I think because NBC uses the Silverlight.
Right, the thing that Netflix uses.
That if you didn't have Silverlight downloaded, you couldn't do it. Or if you weren't on Verizon, you couldn't do it. And when you did download Silverlight, they had this like weird picture-in-picture where they had other things from NBC on the sidebar.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then they had something going along the bottom with like scores and things like that. So by the time you actually used your screen to do it, you're only actually watching it on this kind of like pseudo kind of picture-in-picture type thing. So it's interesting to see that kind of first jump into what a streaming experience would be for live sports, but at the same time, you know, you're dealing with the same problems that you do when you view it through illegitimate sources. You know, you're always refreshing or having to restart and not kind of having the performance. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what they end up doing for kind of future things, especially with like the Olympics coming
right.
up.
That's what I was thinking is I think that would have been a better market to test on mm-hmm. because there'd be only so many people viewing, say, the biathlon
sure.
or, you know, whatever else is going on. Because what are we on summer or winter for this next
We're
one?
On summer.
I'm already lost.
London.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't
London,
sure, you know.
England.
if they made snow like Buck Hill or not. You know. So if it's summer, then, you know, only a couple people would watch the relay race versus anything else. So.
Turning Big Ben into a ski jump.
Yes.
Oh, that would be so cool.
But it's one of those things where I think that there'd be small enough pockets of people where people would tune in for that 5-6 minutes, check out what's going on, say they watch the Olympics, and then turn it off. And I think they'd get more viewership than people who will not check it out in 3D, which they're doing this year as well, and I think is a pretty boring and horrible idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not really behind the 3D thing yet.
I mean, unless they're doing hurdles and they're right up in there.
Which, they'll be putting cameras in the track.
Yeah. It's not going to be close enough to be interesting.
No. You know what a really good way of watching the Olympics in 3D is? Go there.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't
if
understand.
You really need
yeah.
to.
It's like, I'm sorry. Fuck, the... God, what is that? Not the pole vault. The javelin. That would be fucking terrifying.
Yeah, that'd actually be the
no!
best one. That or cameraman, the shot put or the discus.
Every fucking throw you just hear.
Next. Something like that actually happened to me once.
You got hit by a javelin?
Not that violent, though.
Okay.
I was working for the University of Green Bay TV station, and the RAs and the paintball club went to the local paintball range.
Oh, God.
And so we were filming a lot of the games so that we could splice together this cool action-y-looking thing. And so for a couple of the games, we were doing sideline stuff. But for the last game, we went to the three-story tower that sat in the middle of the battlefield. And what had happened with this is, you know, obviously the paintball club knows what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
But then it's a bunch of fucking RAs who are doing essentially an icebreaker activity to get to know each other.
We're here to help.
Yeah.
You die.
And so a round starts, and I have like one of those VHS inside the camera kind of size jobs.
The April O'Neil camera.
The April O'Neil camera.
Yeah.
And so I'm hanging out there. First game starts. You hear the horn go off. All of a sudden, I get shot, and the camera bucks back. And I yell, "What the fuck?"
Oops.
And then they're like, "Just stay put. They won't shoot you again." Because, you know, somebody had just misfired. How would they shoot the same spot twice? And so we actually went back, and we put it to frame by frame, and watched as this little yellow speck. Wow, I just got racist there for a second. This little yellow speck.
Olé.
Got bigger and bigger and flew less than an inch under the camera and hit me in the shoulder.
Oh,
some RA went out running and raised her gun up while holding the trigger. So she shot me in the process.
Oops.
Oh, boy.
If that was in 3D, that would have been pretty cool.
I shot my pastor. Yeah. That was about Pastor Tim.
Just like a DreamWorks movie where they're like, "Whoa, T-Rex in your face!"
Or Monsters vs. Aliens with the ball on a string with the paddle.
Yeah,
doom, doom, doom.
Or they at Disney they have like a Muppets thing, and they have there are a couple rides where it's essentially you're sitting in a theater and there's 3D that goes by.
Yeah.
And then they have like an interactive little thing right here that either shoots air in your face.
Yeah.
Or like hits you with water or something like that. Because I remember there's one where there's like Drew Carey had a mystery one for a bit, which was weird as hell, but still.
How do I keep getting work?
Yeah. Sorry. But mice were supposed to run across the floor. Ooh. Somehow they rigged the floor so it just bounced a bit so it hit you.
Yeah.
And so everyone was screaming, and I just had my feet up, and I had noticed a spray. So for the entire show, I had my feet on the spray, and at the end of the show, an elephant is supposed to spray water on you from his nose. And everyone screams out, and I didn't know what happened because I wasn't paying attention.
Oops.
But that's great as 3D you can get. But, the other news I was going to talk about is Jim Gaffigan is going to follow suit from Louis C.K. and do his own $5 digital-only special.
Huh.
Which, just to refresh everyone's memory, when Louis C.K. released, was it Live at the Beacon Theater, and released it, he earned $1 million in 12 days, charging $5 a pop.
Wow.
And most, like, people were worried about piracy and everything like that, because when you paid the $5, you were able to download it twice and watch it online twice, I believe.
Hmm.
And so everyone thought that it would just be pirated, but most of the people who actually watched it bought it anyway.
Hmm.
So that was cool. And so Jim Gaffigan is doing one as well. And it will be filmed later this month and available in April.
Wow.
So it's a new format. It's, you know, I don't want to say low budget, but simple, you know, one night, three cameras, four cameras, standard crew. I think Louis C.K. said that he used $250,000 to pay for and give bonuses to his staff.
Damn.
So.
Yeah, he just basically said, there's no reason I need this much money.
Right.
And he just gave bonuses to all the people that worked on it and other folks that were helping him with the production.
That's awesome.
Which is cool. So Jim Gaffigan's following suit, and he has, I would say, a slightly larger following than Louis C.K., just based on...
It's the Hot Pockets crowd.
Yeah. And he's been
well. It is
in the limelight a little bit longer.
Yeah,
because
but he stepped out of it though too. I mean,
he's been out for a while.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see
since King Baby.
Yeah. Wow.
But he used to be on that 70s show, and he'd make appearances. He's just kind of like a B actor for a bit while trying to get his stand-up career going. But still, he has a pretty good following now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, he's been in some pretty excellent films.
Oh, he has.
Like Super Troopers.
That's true. He was the meow guy.
13 going on 30. Who can forget that?
Oh, boy.
I don't know that one. I don't know who he was in that one.
Who was he? The one with Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner. Yeah. But who was he is what I'm wondering.
So many
stereotyped white guy, number 5,892.
Midwesterner, number 3.
Yeah.
And then revisiting...
giant white guy.
Then revisiting the 13 going on 30 theme with 17 again.
That was the one movie with Zac Efron and
Matthew Perry.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great.
Another big one. Or The Love Guru. Who can remember him in The Love Guru?
I like The Love Guru.
Who can remember The Love Guru?
Yeah.
True story.
I can.
Dave can.
I like bad comedies.
There's a difference between bad comedy and The Love Guru, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the difference between The Sopranos and Lilyhammer.
Bring it back to that. One other thing I was going to mention was Louis C.K. won a Grammy this last weekend.
Really?
Yeah, he...
comedy album?
Yep.
Best comedy album.
Was it spoken word? Yeah. It's that combined category, so Weird Al was in there as well.
Hmm.
But Louis C.K. won for Hilarious, which is the... CD and special that he released before Live at the Beacon Theater. And Hilarious is available on Netflix. So if you want to listen to some Grammy quality comedy, it is available on Netflix streaming right now. Search for Hilarious. And it is hilarious. Not to exaggerate on what he talks about during that part of the set.
Uh-huh.
It's appropriately named.
It's good.
We'll say that much.
Cool.
But yeah. You know what I think?
What?
I think it's time for Movie Bluff.
Movie Bluff.
Oh, Movie Bluff. But I do want to say one more thing, because I finally got around to watching something that was in my queue that was totally worth it, and I wanted to mention it.
Honorable mention.
Yes. It is a documentary, and it is simply entitled Senna, and it's about Ayrton Senna, who was a Formula One driver in the late 80s to mid-90s, and it's just the story about how he... His rise to greatness and his tragic death, and it was just so cool, so amazing. So, yeah.
Senna?
Senna. S-E-N-N-A.
Senna.
Yeah. It's a yellow cover. Oh.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah. It's really awesome.
I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen the cover.
Yeah. Yeah, because his helmet was always yellow.
Yes.
Like from the first time he drove, but yeah.
So do both of you have Netflix accounts? Watch things streaming occasionally?
Yes.
I currently have a Netflix account which is on hold, which I actually think is one of the best things that Netflix has come up with.
On hold.
You can put your Netflix account on hold if you either are relocating or are for any other reason, financial reasons, anything like that.
Right.
And so I'm currently on hold because I'm living in a house that's a rental that the primary owners of the house winter, so they have all their mail forwarded. So I want it sent somewhere else, I just have it on hold for my discs.
But streaming active.
You can keep it active. Yeah, it's pretty.
So are you actively using your active streaming?
I am actively using my active streaming. I am active.
So, I mean, I just watched Hilarious.
A lot of streaming activity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Good.
Just watch Senna. How about you two? Things that you've watched recently. Things that you haven't seen before, if you can go as far as that, or something that you've been working on recently.
I actually...
Recommendation.
I actually just signed up today... for the free month through Epic Mealtimes
free month-long subscription.
Okay.
Bacon strips.
Yep. It's bacon strips. Netflix.com/bacon.
A chocolate sauce.
Still, that is still Samir's ringtone on my phone.
Mildly inappropriate.
I just signed up today, and I started tossing my queue together, and I tossed in all the old cartoon shows and whatnot. The one thing that I found...
How about this? Since you just started, what were you happiest to find?
All the Nickelodeon catalog.
Specifically? If you could pick two,
I'll give you two more than one. I was ecstatic to find Rocko's, just because I love that show. Outside of that, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends I have it on my computer. Yes, that's right. I just turned 25, and guess what? My two favorite things on Netflix are Rocko's Modern Life and Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. But I'm also a comic book artist, so...
about me? I'm about to... Before this episode... This episode will drop before I turn 26, but I'm right there, and it's Phineas and Ferb and Futurama for me.
There you go. See? It's for all ages.
Yes.
I've just kind of been perusing. One thing that I saw that I will probably watch and throw in my queue is the old Incredible Hulk show, the live-action one, because Lou Ferrigno as the Hulk was pretty fucking funny. I know it wasn't supposed to be campy, but it really was. So I don't know. I've been having fun looking at like older stuff.
Okay.
And just kind of checking out stuff that I remember from when I was little to kind of bring it back and see if A, it's still good, and B, to see if it was as bad as I remember. But yeah.
Works hand in hand.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so cool. Now.
I didn't even get to answer.
Oh, dude.
Didn't you?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Fuck you.
Ladies first.
Yeah. Ouch.
I've been watching a lot of BBC, so I've been catching up on my Doctor Who.
Hey, yeah. That's my other vice right now.
Yes.
I watched the first episode of Downton Abbey.
I've only watched the first episode of that.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm excited about...
You are excited about it?
I'm excited about it. And finally, and most importantly, because let's be honest, it's astoundingly good, is the BBC's Sherlock.
Mm-hmm. I should watch that. Yeah,
you should watch it. You should watch it now. We should stop the podcast and we should watch it. Plus, the second series was just released on the BBC just earlier this year in January. And one of the things that they said when they finished the second series was they actually contracted for a third series of three. So series ends with... Well, I won't say anything too much to ruin it. But they're all based on short stories or Sherlock stories, so it's not like you're ruining anything. So if you haven't seen it and you haven't read any Sherlock Holmes, then I'd be ruining it for you. But needless to say, there's going to be a third 3-episode series that's going to be coming out, and Stephen Moffat said that he's hoping to screen it before the end of the year on the BBC. So the first series of three, which are outstanding and are kind of conglomeration mashups of some Sherlock short stories, are on there right now, and they're outstanding.
Is that the same Moffat that's on that does Doctor Who?
Oh, it is.
I thought so, because I've been binging on. I started with series 5 of Doctor Who because I wanted just to start with Matt Smith, and like the new woman of my dreams, Megan Gillan.
Judges say we'll allow it.
Karen Gillan.
I was close. Yeah. Close
well,
enough.
Can't remember the first name.
Amelia
of
Pond.
Amy Pond.
Yeah.
Meow.
She's nice.
Yes.
All right. Well.
But there's that. Let's play Movie Bluff. And I thought, in honor of Jim Gaffigan eventually releasing his download exclusive comedy special in April, which everyone can find on his website, by the way, I say that we reference a TV show that he's been on to start, and I will say, to start the game, that 70s show, Cast.
Okay.
So you name somebody who's in the cast of that 70s show.
Mila Kunis.
And then you have the option of saying cast and having James name somebody else in the cast, or say movie, or so he has to name a movie or TV show of Mila Kunis.
Movie.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
And then cast or movie.
So if I say cast, that means
he has to name somebody in the Forgetting Sarah Marshall cast. If you say movie, then another Mila Kunis project.
Ooh, movie.
Huh. Okay. I remember who she is now.
Attaboy.
Several good. Episodes later.
Good
so
start.
Far,
good
off
start.
To a good start.
Well done, Foreman.
But I'm going to go with a hunch and say that you're bluffing. You can't name a movie she's been in.
I forgot about that.
yeah, there is that. Yeah, me too. I got two.
You have two?
I have two so far.
Good gracious.
One of them is really easy, and the other one is...
Black Swan.
There you go.
Oh,
there you go. James gets the point.
All right.
She's also in a little program called Family Guy.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Family Guy.
Oh, that you can only name movie, also. Though.
No, no. We say movies because it sounds better, but TV show...
Friends
would,
with Benefits.
Okay.
We have to save some of them in case that's somehow true. She comes up right. again. Okay. But yeah, movie means movie and TV show, which is why we started with gotcha. That 70s show.
Excellent. Kinda. Okay.
So, James, you started with the first point. So it starts with me in this next round, and it goes to you, Adam. So I will... For fun, since we've exploited this a lot, start out with an actor and say Topher Grace. Movie.
Because
you look like him.
That's funny.
Or less hair.
Right, right.
He has less hair.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I have more hair than Topher Grace.
But more
so
money.
So there. Sorry, yeah, he does have more money. I'm not going to refute that. Anyway. What should I choose? Oh, I know.
Very recent one.
Spider-Man 3. Cast.
Who is in?
So I have to say someone else from the cast.
Yeah, you have to say somebody who's in that
3.
Movie.
Yep. Mm. Options, you have them.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
And then somebody else, you cast or movie?
Movie.
Who the fuck is Bryce Dallas Howard?
It is a rule that if somebody makes that expression, can you name who he was in Spider-Man 3?
She
Bryce.
Was, she
I'm
was
sorry,
Gwen,
Bryce.
She was Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stacy. So you have to name something else that...
Bryce Dallas Howard. Fuck, what was the name of that movie?
I'm sorry, what was the name again?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Bryce Dallas Howard. I just wanted to make sure.
Good Lord.
Feel free to think out loud. I mean, you know, don't say my definitive answer is and then start thinking.
Oh,
but
no,
feel free to...
I'm going through, like, because she's not that old.
Girl.
Yes, she's a girl. Very good, Adam.
Start basic. Girl?
Girl. Possibly blonde.
She's actually a redhead. That was the irony of it all, is because she played Gwen Stacy, who's a blonde, and Kirsten Dunst is, yeah, it.
It was a weird crossover.
Yeah, Kirsten Dunst is blonde. It wasn't an important fact, but I don't give a rat's ass if people
heard
that.
Well, I'm
going
to give you 15 seconds on it, so you have to name something or call shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Or you know, you're bluffing.
Bluffing.
As part of the thing.
Bluffing.
He said you're bluffing, James.
James, name something else that Bryce Dallas Howard was in.
Yeah, I got no idea.
Okay.
Yeah! Can I look her up to see what else she
yeah,
has
I'm actually
been
intrigued.
In?
I'm going to pull this up as well. Is it BRY or BR? Oh, I assume it's BRY. It's got to be.
Bryce Dallas
BRY.
Howard.
Good call.
She's been in a couple different things.
It's just one of those things where
My default one was like 10 things I hate about you. I'm like, that's too far back for her.
From The Village.
Oh.
And The Help.
Oh. Damn. That's what I was thinking of and I couldn't remember.
Oh.
In Twilight Eclipse. Family Guy for an episode.
Really?
Oh. An episode. Lady in the Water.
Hmm. She's an M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah, she's... Ding dong.
Noted.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Who is she? She was the little girl.
She was the surprised who.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
I know. Very, very deep. So that was Bryce Dallas Howard.
Not Mary Lou Who.
No.
No.
So,
Cindy Lou Who.
Cindy Lou Who. Sorry.
Yes. Dave, you have a point. James, you have a point.
No.
You and didn't.
The direction turns again, and I start again. So, Dave, I'm sending something to you. And I am going to say... Futurama cast.
Oh shit!
There's a good chunk to pick from.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm just.
So are we saying voice actors? Or are we just naming characters?
Voice actors.
Bender movie.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Futurama the movie.
Yeah.
Point James.
Been a Futurama the movie.
Yeah, there've been four.
But they weren't called Futurama the movie.
Oh, no, they weren't.
No.
I don't care.
Hank Azaria.
And then movie or cast?
Movie.
What else has Hank Azaria been in? Azaria.
Hank Azaria. It's been in many movies.
You got a good one.
I do too.
Hank Azaria.
One of my favorites, actually.
And another one.
Has been in.
Kind of an immediate go-to. And another one after that, actually.
What's it called?
For a minute there, it kind of sounded like you were in like second grade reading your report to the class.
Hank Azaria was in.
Mystery Men.
Movie or cast?
Cast.
Sweet. Who's in it?
Okay.
There's some good ones in this one.
Yeah, there are. That gives you a total.
Oh, every single one of them I can name something from their career.
Yeah, I know. Well, I want to say it anyway. Paul Rubens.
Oh.
Movie, of course.
Thank you. Thank
Sorry.
You. I will do. I want to do Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of which would be better for me. I'll do movie. So name something else that Paul Rubens has been in.
And you did Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was Tim Burton, wasn't it?
Yes. No, did Danny Elfman.
That? No, I mean Tim Burton directed, so that means it's an automatic Danny Elfman. You got my train of thought.
Is it okay to say Pee-wee's Christmas? Because that was...
Yeah, there are a lot of people...
Well, I know, but that was... It was a movie release.
Yeah, it's legit. It's a
television show,
Pee-wee's
right?
Christmas.
Yeah, it'd work on both ends of it. So it's legit.
Cast.
Ooh, got a good one for that.
I do too.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Damn it.
That too.
No, it wasn't that one. I was going to go... Magic Johnson.
Cast? Dude.
What?
It's still going around.
Yeah. Oh, right. Don't worry. He may have not heard.
Oh, he heard. Cast.
Well, I heard it, so Magic Johnson.
Keep it going. Keep going on cast.
All right, cast.
Do you know another one, dude?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm just getting that one out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Since it's kind of already on the table.
Sorry. I thought you.
Thanks, Dave.
I might need history from the three of you to contextualize this. Do we know what year relatively it was released?
1988.
It was 88. Dave is saying because he is far away from the mic.
1988.
And, he was 1 year old. So
no, because
pretty.
It came out because that's on the same tape as the Christmas Toy. And okay. They have the same commercials.
Then I am going to say Phil Hartman movie.
You're bluffing.
Yeah, I probably am. But I wanted to check to see anyway.
Can we just name a bunch of people that were on Pee Wee's Christmas Special?
Shaka Khan!
Well,
Shaka Khan, the Del Rubio triplets. Can I get a what? How about... Charo?
Yeah.
I didn't actually know anyone else who was Feliz on the cast because I've never seen that.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Dude.
Okay, so it's Pee-wee's
also
Christmas?
Another one that they streamed this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I watched that I don't know how many times.
I have it on DVD. Thank you, Walgreens.
Because I'm pretty sure.
We watched Pee-wee's Big Adventure on New Year's Eve this year.
You were right. It was 1988.
Happy birthday, Kia.
Oh.
Okay, let's see. Because I can't remember,
he was in one of the movies, wasn't he?
He was in the original show. I wasn't sure if he had made
really?
It there
who
long
was,
enough.
Who was he in the show?
He was a sailor, and he was not in the cast. But I really want to find out what he played.
I do not remember him on the show.
Mecha-leka-hi-ni-ho.
Who played Jambie?
I don't know.
Or Cherry?
I don't know.
Or Flory.
He was Captain Carl.
Captain Carl.
But he was only on for four episodes. I thought he was on for more than that. So, Dave, you got the point for that one. So, Dave, you have 2 points. James, you have 1 point. James, you start, and it goes to Dave.
Uh-oh.
Ringo Starr. And then...
Movie. It's all you can do. I got three.
Yeah, so do I. Fuck, this is just going to go through. Help. Movie.
Okay, so another movie. No. There's. I'm going to reveal something after this round that's amusing. But I'm going to say Hard Day's Night. And I'm going to go to cast.
Can I interrupt with an anecdote real quick from the Grammys? One of the things that was trending was who is Bonnie Bear, because people didn't know who Bonnie Bear was. One of the other things that was trending was who is Paul McCartney?
What
because
the
people
hell?
Did not know who Paul McCartney was.
He did just
who's
release
this
a new CD?
Old dude.
Yeah.
People are dumb.
Legend.
That makes me sad.
It makes me sad.
But who else was in the cast of Help?
In honor of, because hey,
oh, no, I'm seeing Hard Day's Night. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Hard Day's Night.
I'm gonna say Paul McCartney, movie.
Another movie that Paul McCartney's in. This is hard.
How
about Magical Mystery Tour?
And then,
this is
a, cast
and then
movie.
You have to
we, cast our movie.
Cast our movie.
Cast.
This is a fucking vicious cycle.
There is a way to break out of this, but it's going to take some cooperation on your part.
No.
I figured as much.
Yellow Submarine.
He said cast, though.
Oh. John Lennon.
Uh-huh. Cast or movie? Come on.
Movie. Cast. Okay, fine. You're bluffing.
I'm bluffing what?
That you can't name another movie that John Lennon has been in.
The Beatles Anthology.
Is that a movie?
Oh, that was
a documentary.
It was a documentary.
And he was interviewed in it.
That's true.
He would count on the cast for that.
I believe you. I just want to...
Oh. And then you're also... This is kind of stalemating now, right? Because nobody said Yellow Submarine yet.
Yeah.
Didn't somebody...
No, because I said...
Help, Gentlemen. Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
He's actually Magical not credited as being an actor, according to IMDb, in Anthology.
He's interviewed, though. Like a
I'm trying to find. I'm looking. I'm just saying. He hasn't been an actor in it. Soundtrack? Producer? No.
Are any of the Beatles credited in it?
In what?
In the Anthology. I'm just curious.
I'm not seeing it. No. Writer?
Well, no. They're not actors. They're subjects, technically, right?
But they're
interviewed. Yeah, but there
in
are
it.
A couple documentary pieces, but in that one, he's a writer, and that one, he's a writer. As an actor...
So if I said a movie that I knew by John Lennon now, just to burn everybody, can I do that?
Anyway. Yeah.
Because he was in How I Won the War.
Yes, I saw that on the list. Huh, wait. Oh, I see. They were credited as the Beatles. They weren't credited as themselves.
Who are the Beatles?
We are one.
And even
entity.
Then, the Beatles weren't credited for Hard Day or the Anthology either.
Huh.
Nobody's credited for it. So that's kind of a weird stalemate of authority versus
Yellow Submarine,
legitimacy.
Then, which is another movie that they've been in. But
and then,
yeah.
So.
Wow.
It's a stalemate.
Yeah, I haven't seen
but
round
technically
crash
for that
and
one,
burn like this before.
They weren't credited in that one.
Really?
Which was going to be my trivia.
In Yellow Submarine?
In Yellow
credited?
Submarine, they weren't credited as themselves because they weren't their own voice actors.
Yeah.
They brought in other voice actors to play them, and then they weren't credited.
Not even for the soundtrack?
For the soundtrack, but we do actors.
Ringo Starr was in Thomas the Train Engine.
Yes,
TV show.
Shining Time
Station. He was a conductor in Shining Time Station.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that one.
That's what I was hoping my ace in the hole was going to be.
He was George Carlin.
But wasn't George Harrison in a Monty Python movie?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember. He was in Life of Brian, right?
Yeah.
Because I was hoping you were going to say George Harrison just to get into a Monty Python kick. So technically, Dave, you won the game.
Woo!
I'll concede the stalemate because it's not getting us anywhere.
Woo! Hooray! Hooray!
But I think we are riding up on... Well... For fun, let's just do one more.
Let's go for
cycle
it.
Around. Dave, you're the winner, but we're playing a...
Yes.
For fun. So, Adam, you would start and it'd come to me.
Sure.
Just for fun.
For funsies.
Denzel Washington movie.
Okay. All I can think about is Shining Time Station.
He was not in that.
I didn't think so.
It's my ace in the hole, even though it wasn't my ace in the hole.
He was the voice of Reginald.
Oh, God. He has that new movie that's out with Ryan Reynolds I can't think of. Remember the Titans cast.
Ryan Gosling.
Movie.
The Notebook.
Oh, my God. Okay, so movie or cast?
Cast.
We got to really train people to like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Renee Zellweger, movie.
Wait.
The Notebook. Call shenanigans because she wasn't in it.
In The Notebook?
Not Renee Zellweger, my friend. I've never seen it, but even I know.
It's Rachel McAdams.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why
mm-hmm.
am I... What?
Yeah.
What movie? What...
James gets point. What? James gets second.
No, I called shenanigans on him.
Oh.
He threw it to me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I threw it to you. So
I'm responsible for calling
Poor
shenanigans.
Scrappies.
Yeah.
All right.
And plus, I wanted to get on the board. You were already on the board. That's true. On the board.
As long as Adam doesn't win, I don't care.
I already won.
That too.
Oh.
You're fired.
But now that we've...
Is he fired from the couch you're sitting on, from the podcast?
No, it's from he has to do his plugs first since the episode's wrapping up.
Yes.
So, do you have anything to plug, Dave?
I didn't know. It's coming up in April, but C2E2 in Chicago, Adam and I will both be there representing Mindwave Comics.
You know it.
Which is going to be sweet. Also, if you go to comicspress.com, comics spelled with an X, the debut printing of The Bolt Strikes and the collected version of the first couple issues of The Misadventures of Wonder Boy will be available at the end of this month for order. So pick them up. They are written and illustrated by myself and my friends and at Mindwave Comics, which you can check out at mindwavecomics.com or follow on Twitter at Mindwave Comics. So check us out, pick up some books, and as it says, ride the wave.
There you go. And then you have a personal Twitter too, right?
I do, at Dave Wheeler. It is what it sounds like.
Exactly. James, how about you? Do you have anything that's coming up that you'd like to plug? Any events, anything like that?
Well.
Has LeVar Burton sits over there hanging out with the headphones?
Butterfly in the sky.
I'll
be performing karaoke this Friday.
No. I was going to say James Marsden because it's definitely a Cyclops look.
Huh? Yeah, the...
Oh, yeah. You just noticed?
Adam has his
he can go twice as high.
Like Phoenix.
Cyclops,
yeah.
There you go.
I'm going to be coordinating the National Association for Community Designs conference this year in Salt Lake City.
Ooh.
June 7th through the 10th. You can find out more information as we go along. We'll be unveiling a call for submissions soon at communitydesign.org. You can follow us on Twitter at ACDTweets. That's at capital ACD tweets. I have a personal Twitter at James Wheeler, capital M, capital N. That's James Wheeler, Minnesota. I'll also be teaching a course at the University of Minnesota this spring and May. So look for me there. Follow me on Twitter.
Do you have your class number assigned yet where people can...
ARC 3250.
There we go.
Look for me, James Wheeler. Check it out. Community Design and Public Interest Architecture, BDA Workshop. That's Bachelor of Design in Architecture.
Awesome. Woo. That is awesome.
That's about all the plugs I think I got in me.
Yeah, Adam, how about you? What do you have coming up?
Go watch Sherlock.
Yeah.
Streaming on Netflix.
I will. I really will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, one more time, happy birthday to my sister Kia, who's out in L.A. Hooray!
Woo!
And let's see, what else? Oh, Katie, my dear girlfriend, is in a play coming up very soon called These Shining Lives. It's going to be at Normandale. You should definitely check it out. It's going to be, the first weekend in March and the weekend before that, which would be the last weekend in February.
Which would be... Is that the 20-something?
Let me pull up my calendar 25th? Because something like that.
And he wishes happy birthday to his sister.
I was going
to
say the 20th, but that's not... 23rd days.
23rd through the 25th. I think there's a Thursday night show, Friday night show, both weekends, and then Saturday there's a matinee. Can't remember if they're doing shows on Sunday, but yeah.
You can find it online by probably going to Normandale something or other?
Yes, exactly. And also, tickets are selling out, so go get them. She's going to be awesome. I know it.
And then personal plugs?
Let's see.
He's got a fine pair of rippling biceps he's been working on lately. Let me tell you.
Welcome to the Squirt Gun Show.
Oh, yeah. All right. So anyway.
Free tickets
to the gun show.
Not selling out.
Going slow.
Nope. Gonna be here for a while.
Business is slim.
Matinees are free.
Can I actually plug the podcast?
Sure.
because
well, I mean, Adam, what, you know, you
had... yeah, not really much anything else.
Oh no,
how about Twitter?
Well, yeah, ADAMERDMANN Adam Erdman is my name.
And it's true.
Yeah,
that's there you go. Okay,
we're good.
Back and SUCCESS, that is how you spell success. Going over day.
I was actually going for what James was going for, which is a reference. It's a wrestling reference to Long Island Iced Tea, Zack Ryder. But he is the king of social media in wrestling right now. And as he says, like you guys on Facebook, follow you on Twitter, and get all the cool buffering merchandise that will someday exist. Or just check in whenever you're here.
Subscribe to your YouTube channel.
And follow, subscribe on iTunes.
Something.
I don't know. It was a butchered version of what he says, but he has merchandise on sale, so it's a lot. What are you doing? That's my phone. That's Rocket Drugged.
Uh-huh.
It's a good picture.
Well, I'll...
Subscribe on Stitcher.
Yes, I was going to say, you can find us on iTunes, so make sure if you're there to rate us, because, like I said, we have egos that we love to inflate. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is a smart radio for your phone. Find it your app on your App Store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smart way to listen to radio. Smarter way to listen to radio. You can also go to BufferingPodcast.com to listen to the episodes, as well as bonus tracks like our mic check. And if we play another game after that, that'll check, be on here check. As well. See pictures of check. Our guests and see the Frank Oz Memorial Studio, which you can find on Facebook at Facebook.com/Frank Oz Memorial Studio, or if you're using a mobile phone, m.facebook.com/Frank Oz Memorial Studio. You can find us on Twitter at Buffer Podcast, because buffering doesn't fit. Let's see. I am going to Young the Giant on Monday at First Ave on the main stage.
So am I.
Nice. You are going. Yeah. I saw Katie posted on Facebook that she was excited. So.
Yeah, she got tickets, so...
Well, then I think we should just take the bus down from here so that no one has to drive and we can
rock on.
Drink PBR like we did last time we went to see him at the 7th Street entry.
Hipsterific!
Yeah, we saw him last year at First Ave, but this year they're on the main stage, so that'll
moving
be exciting.
On
mm-hmm. Check out their self-titled CD. Definitely worth picking up.
Absolutely.
Other than that, I can be found on Twitter at Dan L. Whelan, W-H-E-L-A-N. And I'll plug work for fun. You can find lots of TV and movies for free at TumTiki.com, TumTiki.com, hosted by Frontier Communications, so make sure to watch that, because you can watch lots of up-to-date TV shows and movies for free, as well as a couple movies that you can pay for.
TumTiki.
So, thank you for listening. Next time that people come back, I will be 26 on this show, which
Woo!
Is exciting.
Yay!
As this was the 22nd episode, and it's slowly catching up with me.
Sharkbait. Ooh-ah. Tum-tiki.
But you've been listening to Ooh-ah. Buffering, a.k.a. the Wheeler Whalen Flower Hour, featuring some guy named Adam.
Woo!
And featuring we will me. Find you next week. Thanks for listening.
We're going to find them.
Yes,
we're going to find you.
Yeah, yeah.
We know we're where going you live. Hunt. We're coming to get you.
And the check-in is coming from within the Frank Oz Memorial Studio.
It's
but thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Sayonara.
Bye.
Adios.